It's my pleasure today to speak with Chris Miller from Cheora. Chris is the EVP of EMEA and the head of sales engineering for Cheora. Now, Cheora is a relatively new member to Open Compute, but have recently secured the OCP Ready certification for their facility in China to be our first OCP Ready facility in China. So welcome, Chris. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Great. So, Chris, for those in the audience who may not be familiar with Cheora, tell us a little bit of background about the company as well as yourself and how you got involved in the data center world.
Okay. Yeah. Well, so thank you for the intro. I've been involved in the data center industry for about 15, 20 years, depending on when you say it started. But, you know, from London, involved in projects across the UK and Europe. Including in the Scandinavian region. I've been working with a variety of different government organizations over those years, including some work in APAC for the Malaysian government. But started with Cheora around about 8 years ago. And the focus for Cheora back in that day, and still is, was to provide, you know, international standards, the best standards of data center infrastructure into China, working with the Chinese to get the best Chinese standards and combine the two to make sure that we are a good, safe location for data center infrastructure for the international community in China, and also, you know, best of class for the Chinese organizations that are also trying to increase their standards in China. So, you know, we've been working in China, as I said, for some time, working very closely with local, regional, and national government organizations. Regulators to make sure that you know, we are bringing the best standards to the Chinese market for our customers.
And so the, you know, the China market is not an easy market to start in. So why was the impetus in the company to approach China? From the obvious reasons, the size of the market, but there is that's often outweighed by, in many cases, by the complexity of the market. So why China, and then also why Tianjin as a particular location?
Okay, two very good questions. Well, why China? Well, China is, you know, circa 1.4 billion people with the fastest growing sort of GDP on the planet still. And, you know, for businesses to do business with the Chinese population, business and so on, you must have your storage, your compute, your infrastructure inside China, and you know that's part of the quandary for people doing business in China, and it has been viewed upon as being very complicated. And so we've spent a lot of time making sure that we worked with the regulators, with the relevant authorities, with the state grid of China, the carriers, the China Telecoms, the China Unicoms, the China Mobiles, and other tier one carriers in China, to make sure that we're delivering infrastructure that is legal, compliant, and of the standard that international companies need to do business. So, we identified that it's a very large market, and it's a market that has to be important to any global company, and therefore you need to be inside China to facilitate that business. So, we identified there was an opportunity and a need to deliver those kinds of services akin to delivering a service that was, if your data center was in New York or Frankfurt or London, or indeed, you know, in Singapore or Hong Kong. And the key thing is that, you know, in order to deliver services into China, as I said, you know, doing it from outside, including Hong Kong and Singapore and the like, is complex and difficult. And actually, you've got to be inside China. As I said, your infrastructure has to be inside China. Your data for the 1.4 billion people has to reside inside China. So we saw there was an opportunity for a very large market, very complex market, for the international community to thrive. And that's what we've done. So our first data center, TJ1 in Tianjin, and we chose Tianjin, by the way, again, working closely with relevant authorities in China for a couple of reasons. The first is that if you ask anyone internationally to name more than three cities in China, they'll say, well, they can probably do two. They'll say Shanghai, Beijing, and maybe Hong Kong as a third, which is obviously not part of mainland PRC. But yeah, so Beijing and Shanghai. But the two issues with those two cities in recent years, and similar to elsewhere in the world, is that power is of a premium. And getting power to scale inside the city limits of Beijing and Shanghai is a problem. So we worked with the state grid, with the authorities, and Tianjin was chosen because it's within 2 milliseconds round trip of data to the CBD of Beijing. But it's also a central hub of domestic finance in China. It's a massive city in its own right, circa 16 million people. So that was a part of the rationale. The other is that, you know, the actual electrical infrastructure and the network infrastructure in Tianjin is, it's pretty new and it's state of the art. So, you know, we're able to establish and get guaranteed commitment from the state grid for a 300 MVA site, so a campus scale site in Tianjin, to service the Tianjin, Hebei and Beijing tri-state region, which is a, you know, a region of circa 160 million people. So, you know, Tianjin was chosen for that reason, to service northern China and to, you know, give direct access to Beijing, akin to, I guess, New Jersey to Manhattan or Slough to London, but also it kind of moves into the, you know, this like Virginia, I guess, that, you know, it's the campus scale that allows, you know, the comfort that you've got the connectivity day one, but you've also got the flexibility and guarantee of growth without having to, you know, reposition to separate locations. So that was the main rationale, was support with the local and national regulators, and, you know, the fantastic power connectivity and the network infrastructure. And then I guess the other thing is Tianjin's actually a very beautiful city. You know, the turn of the last century, it was a sort of a hub for foreign trading. So there's a French quarter, a German quarter, a British quarter within the city. So it's a really lovely city itself. It's a major port. You know, some landing stations come into near Tianjin. And it's also got some excellent technical universities, that which we're, as an organization, working closely with. In fact, we have, you know, a series of internships coming in to educate the local technical university around how data centers are working. So it was, you know, ease of doing business, scale of doing business, location in terms of proximity to Beijing and Tianjin itself, scale of power, and the, you know, access to some very, very smart people to, you know, facilitate and operate our data centers.
It sounds like growth possibilities across all aspects. So I've seen pictures of the facility online and then the virtual tour, but what makes it unique? So tell people in the audience about the facility and the value proposition behind it, other than the location aspects that you mentioned.
Okay, well, so as I said, we've, you know, I've been talking to you chaps for some time. And so when we started to design and build the first of our data centers in Tianjin, and as I said, it's a 300 MVA site, we've built the first phase of the first major data center, which is a circa 6,000 square meter facility and data halls. So 6,000 square meter data halls. The two first data halls are live with 4 megawatts of IT load capacity. The remainder, you know, coming online within 6 months, so middle of next year. And then we've got the capability of doing another five very large sites of data halls and data centers. So each of, you know, circa 6,000 square meters per hall. So, you know, it's a big chunky site, and the capability of doing you know, co-location, which is the first sort of site of 4 megawatts, into build to suit. You know, this is the beauty of the campus scale. It's carrier neutral, so we've got China Telecom, China Unicom, China Mobile, Telstra PBS, China Broadband connected and live. So it's a carrier neutral, cloud neutral facility, but it's got the capacity in terms of land space and power for anybody to have the comfort to build to suit adjacent to this sort of, I guess, cloud AI hub.
Interesting. So as you had mentioned that you're getting around 50% of your power from clean energy, if I read that correctly. So what specific energy are you using, and how did you come across those goals, and are those goals going to increase?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. I think that we can see that the industry's been under pressure for some years, the data center industry, from a variety of different pressure groups around its electricity usage. And that's part of the reason we've, you know, we're also aligned to the OCP, is that, you know, we have a what I call E-cubed. So, you know, our business needs to be economically viable and sustainable, but it also needs to be environmentally and ethically sustainable. And so you can see that there's a push from pretty much every large corporate to be carbon neutral or indeed carbon negative within the next 5-10 years. So we've made sure that you know, we've got the ability to provide renewable energy as part of our process, part of our offering. And so we've been working very closely with the State Grid of China, and in fact our head of China, Stephen Sau, has been working closely with them. He's previously worked for the State Grid. So we've been doing, we've got some agreements in place with the State Grid and other power providers to you know, have agreements on renewable energy, predominantly wind. And I'm not saying it's necessarily adjacent, directly adjacent to our data center. When I see pictures of data centers that has a wind turbine next to it, it does cheese me off a little bit because it's not real. But what we're saying is we have the capability and agreements in place with the power companies and State Grid for any of our customers to you know, utilize those contracts to have a renewable energy position. The other thing is we also have a gas turbine generator power station that's very close to where we are that allows us to, you know, if required from a design point of view, from a build-to-suit, to utilize that direct cleaner power, but also some fancy and decent things around, you know, cooling technologies and offsetting. So, but you know, the message is, you know, you can have up to 100% renewable if you so wish. We've got the capacity and availability of contract options that we're more than happy to share with our customers when we start talking to them.
So speaking of customers, as you look at international companies wanting to move into China, how do you help them understand the China market, and what are some of the things that they need to keep in mind when it comes to infrastructure and mistakes to avoid?
That's another good question. I mean, obviously there's some, you know, very large brands, corporates already doing business in China, so and they'll understand the complexities of the regulations and licensing for their business. I guess where our expertise comes in is the, you know, digital business. How do you connect to the internet legally? How do you digitalize your business? How do you access the cloud and the cloud players, from a public cloud to hybrid cloud to private cloud? And so we've been spending we've got a lot of time working on that. So, you know, we're fully compliant to all the building permits that are required physically for the data center. And that's so one of the issues has been, and one of the things that we suggest that any international company does is, you know, before they start making decisions and pressing the go button, is that they make sure that they do proper due diligence, that everything around their business in China is compliant. So we've spent a huge amount of time and money to become, you know, completely conversant and experts in aligning ourselves with government regulation to make sure that we're 100% compliant. And that's not, as I said, just from a physical compliance, you know, building permits, legality of the building, connecting to the internet, but also the soft licensing, so the VAT license, the value-added telco licenses, so IDC, ISP, the ICRS cloud licensing. We've got all of those. So, you know, what we're saying to everyone is just be very careful when you go into China and you've been pushed to joint venture. You know, come and have a chat with us, because, you know, we are obviously a data center infrastructure provider, but our work that we've done to understand how to be legally compliant and how to do business in a sustainable, legal manner in China is something else that we've got very strong expertise in. So, yeah, what we're saying is just be very careful. Make sure that you have all the standards that are legally compliant when you do any business in China. And, you know, that's something we're very happy to discuss with anybody.
Yeah, sound advice. Now, you'd mentioned earlier about that you're carrier neutral, and then you mentioned a few carriers. But I do know that you have a relationship with Telstra China. Is that a unique relationship, or is that similar to the other relationships that you have?
Well, it's unique insofar as that, you know, for TJ1, they are our co-location provider. And we did that for a couple of reasons. I mean, the relationship with the partnership with Telstra is, you know, we spent some time, we had other partnership opportunities, but we went with Telstra in the end, and they went with us, because Telstra, from an international carrier point of view, is the best connected international carrier in China. Telstra PBS, their sort of Chinese subsidiary, sorry, is the best connected from an ISAS, with over 50 POPs in 50 different cities. So they've been doing business in China for some time. And actually, Telstra PBS have a data center that's about 40, it depends on which way you measure, but it's very close, 40 kilometers from our data center. So they've been running a data center for, you know, nigh on 7 years adjacent to us, which is pretty much at capacity now, and they want growth. So, you know, it's unique insofar as they are our network manager and they're our co-location provider. And their ability to understand the Chinese market from an international standpoint is unique, but also that they're incredibly strong from an APAC connectivity point of view. So it just, you know, they're a good partner, a very strong partner for us, insofar as bringing in their expertise from a network connectivity point of view, and we're bringing you know, the data center infrastructure expertise and the capital. You know, actually the money that's required to build these data centers, we're very strongly funded to develop this infrastructure to support Telstra's ambitions in China, which are also very ambitious.
Yeah, Telstra is certainly a powerhouse in APAC and beyond. So now you just went through the OCP ready process, and you are the very first facility in North Asia to get this certification. How do you see the OCP community impacting your business?
Well, I think, you know, I think as we mentioned, I've been tracking it for some time. So when we built when we're doing the design and build for TJ1, our first data center, which is live, went live in October, we were making sure back in the day, this is sort of 3 years hence, that the physical aspects of the facility were robust and future-proof. So, you know, just the floor loadings, the ability to, you know, make sure your loading bay, you can get a fully populated rack, and the physical dimensions of the OCP racks are changing, and they're bigger than historically, you know, a typical rack used to look like. So the ability to, you know, have the physical dimensions, so the corridors, the lifts, the ceiling heights, all those things that, you know, are relatively simple to do, but they're almost, you know, when you have to re-engineer, you know, when you built a data center and your floor loadings don't facilitate the requirements, your corridors aren't wide enough, your lifts aren't big enough, all those things, you know, we've made sure we complied with that, but also making sure that we've got enough space adjacent to the data halls to do whatever types of technology is required to support this OCP community. And the OCP, to me, you know, if you looked at where computing is going and has gone, you know, it is more open standards, but it's more driving towards getting the most efficient bang for your buck. And that tends to mean that the densities of these racks in terms of power is increasing significantly. More equipment's going in these racks, they're getting very heavy. But you know, frankly, the move towards high performance computing, HPC as a service, AI, big data, you know, Internet of Things with 5G, it's just going to be pushing more and more compute and storage requirements, and they're going to get denser and heavier, require more power, require different cooling technologies. So, you know, we made sure that we're aligning with ourselves with the OCP, because actually the OCP, you know, the philosophy of the OCP being, you know, if you're not in the OCP as a member, you're probably doing OCP type stuff in any case. So we kind of realized that by aligning ourselves with the OCP, we're in a good position for whomever needs to put infrastructure in our facilities, whether it's in Tianjin or in Shanghai, which is the next site that we're progressing next year.
Well, you read my mind. The next question I had was, what are your future plans here for expansion?
Well, you know, I think it's the classic, we'll go where the demand is, where the customers want to be. And Shanghai, so Beijing and Shanghai are the two sort of, you know, rocking hubs of China. And you've got South China as well in Shenzhen and Guangzhou. And we've got some positions we're looking at there too. But we're going to where the demand and where people are telling us that they need to be. So Shanghai is the next one on our list. Same detail, we've been spending a lot of time just making sure we can find something that has the power capacity and the, you know, the land and the network connectivity to allow us to make sure that we're building and facilitating a business that has the flexibility and the future proofing for what's required. So Getting something with 300 MVA, that was a bit of a tough ask. We got that in Tianjin to support, as I said, Beijing and the Hebei Tianjin Tri-State. And in Shanghai, we've got a it's a slightly smaller, but it's still, you know, it's 70 megawatts, 70. And we'll be making some announcements in the new year on what that looks like. But it'll be, we'll be going through the ACP process again, of course. And we'll be making sure that the Shanghai facility, again, will be ACP compliant and certified. That's what we'll be working towards. And that'll be coming online on stream, live operations in the beginning of Q1 2022.
Wow. Okay. So just a year away then. Well, you're a little over a year away.
We'll be making some announcements in the, you know, in Q1 next year, 2021, to, you know, give some more detail of what this actually looks like. But so it's really, you know, replicating the philosophy of Tianjin, speed to market, scale, standards, you know, ability to grow. And again, talking about the flexibility of your infrastructure, you know, regarding cooling technologies, for example, you know, I'm fairly certain that, you know, liquid will start to be playing more of an active role in cooling as opposed to using air. So we're just making sure we're aligned with the ACP. And so our new facilities in Tianjin, as we build out from, you know, the first data center that's going, has gone live, we'll make sure we're aligning with what the market's doing. And we're doing exactly the same thing with Shanghai. So our director of engineering, director of project and construction, director of operations are all making sure that we're closely aligned to the industry standards that are coming down the pipe, both from an international point and from a Chinese point of view. But yeah, so, you know, OCP standards will be applicable to our Shanghai site too. And whether we decide to move down to, you know, have another facility in the Shenzhen southern region, Guangzhou region, you know, that's likely too, but that's, you know, that'll be probably middle of next year before we make some announcements about that.
Interesting. So you have now you with the facility in Tianjin, how are you handling tours of the facility? Are you doing those virtually or in person?
Well, we're doing both. I mean, obviously, this COVID pandemic has meant that we're all doing the sort of Zoom and gloom and virtual stuff. So we've got the capability of doing both. And in fact, you know, we've been doing, you know, tours on site in Tianjin physically nonstop. Prior to us going live, but since the October, we've got visits going pretty much every other day. So we've got physical tours and we've got virtual. It depends on where you are and whether you can actually access the physical site. I mean, because getting in and out of China at the moment is a bit of a problem. but the majority of international customers have people on the ground in China. So we've been facilitating domestic and international site business visits in the last couple of months, and we'll continue to do so. And in fact, on the 17th of this month, December, there is a physical tour in association with the American Chambers, the British Chambers, and the European Chambers of Commerce. So there is a, you know, absolutely we're doing physical sites, and we're welcoming anybody who'd like to come.
That's great. Well, and of course,
if you can't, we'll be doing, you know, we will more than happy to talk you through in a virtual manner. We've got a variety of different videos and so on that we can, you know, show people how the facility is set up and how it works.
That's great. I love the way that you guys have approached the OCP Ready program. It has been, it's been a challenge. I know on your part to get the facility up and running in China with all the work that you've done in the past couple of years. And it's great to see that you started from the beginning with this in mind. I remember speaking to you a few years ago and you said, when we start this, we're going to go with the OCP Ready mindset from the beginning. And it really shows. And we're excited to have you in the community. Chaora, the colo solution provider in China, is now officially online. So Chris, thanks for the time today.
Delighted, and thank you to the OCP. The process was relatively simple, very easy to understand, and the support from the OCP to go through the process and subsequently in terms of PR and marketing has been fantastic. And we're very excited to, you know, be involved in the community, both internationally and with my colleagues in the China arm of the OCP. So thank you to the OCP too.
I'll be back with my takeaways from my conversation with Chris in a little bit. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'd like to summarize my key takeaways from my conversation with Chris. The first is just the general complexities of putting up a facility in China. I can imagine the amount of engagement that they had across public sector. Now, this is not unique necessarily to China. I just can imagine there's a lot more variables and moving parts across the public sector. And I do like the way that they're partnering with a local university to start training talent around the data center industry. I know that there's initiative into next year in Singapore where Facebook's new data center is coming up, and they are partnering with NTU, the local university, to start hosting some courses for data center operations. And I think that that's a vastly underserved market, is educating the next generation of data center technicians. The second thing that I really liked with my conversation with Chris is it's very apparent that he's thinking ahead around advanced cooling solutions, specifically when he talked about his facility coming up in Shanghai. But he and I have spoken before, and he's really a big proponent of getting involved with these advanced cooling solutions to make sure that their facilities can handle both air and the new liquid or immersion technologies that are coming quite quickly. And China's leading the way on that with their AI and their increased density workloads that are being produced up there. So they're going to be at the forefront of that and be positioned quite well. And the last is his involvement within Open Compute. He has started off at the beginning, even before breaking ground on this, about, hey, we want to be Open Compute ready. And it's proven pretty well so far. And they're not just stopping with OCP. They're also involved in other open source organizations within China. So they really do understand the value of operating within an open community. And it's a little bit unique when it comes to data centers. And you'll see that across all the data centers that are part of the OCP Colo Ready program. They all have that open source mindset. And it's great. And we're looking forward to more colos joining. But this first facility in China, in Tianjin, is quite impressive. And if you have any questions about this facility, please reach out to me, and I would be happy to introduce you to Chris. And also, you can find details of their facility on our OCP marketplace. But again, thanks to Chris and the team at Chaora for being such a great partner within OCP.